Would you turn with me in your Bible tonight to that marvelous book at the end of the New Testament, book of Hebrews, chapter 2. I'd like to begin with verse 1 as we look to the Lord for divine guidance to speak to our hearts through this sacred truth that He has placed on my heart. Therefore, we, speaking of the people of God, ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Why? For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Father, we thank You for Your Word, that it is a lamp to our feet and it is a light to our path. By it are Thy children warned, and in the keeping of Thy word Thou hast declared, there is great reward. We pray that this word that shall go forth tonight shall be taken seriously to heart, that we will not let the word of God slip away from us by careless hearing or carelessness in our response to that word, obedience to it, our keeping it, our doing it. Responsibility for the souls that are within the sound of our voice tonight. These precious souls for whom You died, Lord Jesus. These precious souls that are eternity bound. Many, Lord, have been redeemed by Your precious blood and have started out well to walk with You. But along the journey there have been snares and stumbling blocks have befallen them. Some have cooled off and have begun to treat lightly or carelessly or negligently Thy word. And now, Lord, You are bringing back to our remembrance the message of how serious Thy word is to be taken to heart, that it is the word of the living God. And we remember, Lord Jesus, how that You said, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For You said, if the Son shall therefore set you free, you shall be free indeed. Master, tonight, set Thy people into that glorious freedom of the children of God to which Thou hast ordained for us in Thy redemption. You said, Lord God of heaven, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Thou hast made us free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. O God, keep us from being entangled. And we beseech Thee even now, let the word have free course and right away, and may Jesus Christ, our great Savior, be glorified, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Beloved, in the word of the Lord tonight, I gave to you chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In verse 3, it says, how shall we escape
if we neglect so great salvation? Who is being addressed by this passage of Scripture? Most of you who have heard a sermon on this verse have known that it was directed to sinners. And a powerful sermon can be preached on this subject. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But it is not a sinner's message. Notice those two words in there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The "we" is making reference to the people of God. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to the church? There are three key words here. One is the word "escape." The other word is the word "neglect." And then the combination of three words, "so great salvation." I would like to start at the end of the verse. If we were down in Arkansas, you who are southern folks know what a crawdad is. You northern folks may call them crayfish. There's only one direction that they go, and that is under their propelling themselves, they go backwards. And I'm going to start at the end of the verse and work toward the front. So great salvation. Observe that. So great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect it? Notice the word did not say here, how shall we escape if we disbelieve so great salvation? Or how shall we escape if we reject so great salvation? Or how shall we escape if we deny so great salvation? Or how shall we escape if we oppose so great salvation? It does not say that. Neither does it say, how shall we escape if we ridicule so great salvation? The question is asked of us as believers tonight, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Notice it. The message is not to rejectors, but it is to neglectors. Neglect is a very powerful word. I will be running by a definition to you in a little while, just as only as a reminder. But may I give you an illustration? There was in the ministry of the Lord Jesus a very, very powerful message that he gave just before he went to the cross. And whenever Jesus gives his last messages, the last words before he died, like many times in this world, a dying man will say his most important things that he has to say before he dies. That which is most strongly impressed upon his heart, that which is most urgent, that which is really so pressing upon him. Jesus is soon to go to Calvary, and he gives two parables. The first one is about 10 virgins. And if you notice that those 10 are all virgins, a type of purity, and they are all going forth to meet the bridegroom. Notice it. The only ones that are interested in the bridegroom is a bride. And these 10 represent a testing number. 10 is testing, like there are 10 commandments. And you find that Jacob's wages were changed 10 times. You go to the book of Revelation in chapter 2, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. 10 is the testing number. The test, our love, our loyalty, our faithfulness. That's why the Holy Spirit chooses the number 10. For in the Bible, numbers have spiritual significance or spiritual meaning. 10, the testing. It is testing their love, their loyalty, their faithfulness, and they're all going forth to meet the bridegroom. They are all virgins. They all have lamps. They all have oil in their lamps. The lamps are all burning. But something happened. Neglect. What was the neglect? They neglected to check their oil. When have you last checked your oil? You said, Brother Hendricks, I know how to check oil in a lamp. I know how to check oil in an automobile or in a lawnmower or in a snowblower. But how in the world are you expecting me to check my oil? What oil? The Holy Ghost oil. Brothers and sisters, we need to check our oil. Said, I don't know how. Then this is the night that you will learn how. Brothers and sisters, if you have oil in your lamp is burning. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, let your lamps be trimmed and burning. Let is a command. That is what we are to be sure. Our lamps are trimmed and also burning. A trimmed lamp will always have a clear flame. If it isn't trimmed, it'll burn on a side and it will begin smoking. And there are a number of folks who have had some troubles with smoking. It's because their lamp isn't trimmed. Amen. Brother, sister, trimmed lamps don't smoke. Hallelujah. Because when that oil of the Holy Ghost is in there, that Holy Ghost oil gives me power over a little stinkweed. The Holy Ghost gives me power over a pipe and over a stogie, a cigar, the stinkingest, smelliest things going. And the Holy Ghost will give you power over dipping snuff. Bless God forever. I believe when we get saved good, we get cleaned up good. This Holy Ghost in there, when that oil is in there, that makes that lamp burn. And when that lamp is burning, there's not only light, but bless God, you can't ever have a lamp burning without having some heat too. There's some fire in there. And I believe, children of God, tonight, that cloven tongues like as a fire was on them on the day of Pentecost. And John the Baptist said that when Jesus baptizes you, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And those who really enjoy the anointing of the Holy Ghost appreciate the fire. But we don't want our fire to go out. We can't afford to. Let the fire go out. Brothers and sisters, and that which is necessary to keep the lamp burning is oil. The Holy Ghost oil. The instruction was given to them, but you notice this? Jesus said, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And notice that what did they do? The very thing that he told them not to do. They were sleeping. How can you check your oil when you're sleeping? Well, you said, Brother Hendricks, do we have to stay awake 24 hours a day? The sleep that the Lord has reference to is not a sleep in resting your body. It is the sleep, he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. He said, awake thou that sleepest, for now is salvation nearer than when you first believed. The sleep is the same word of warning given to us in the book of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 15 when he said, slothfulness bringeth into a deep sleep. What is slothfulness? It is being downright lazy. Slothfulness is just taking life easy. Bless God, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and so I'm ready for the coming of the Lord. Children of God, our readiness to meet Jesus is whether the lamps are burning or not burning. And I noticed this about those whose lamps had gone out. Their lamps were once burning. They neglected to check their oil. And finally, when the sound came at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. No instruction would be given from heaven to go out to meet him unless it would be given to the redeemed and the blood-bought. It sure isn't to sinners. Well, they're not ready to meet the Lord. They're not virgins. They are corrupt. They are unclean. And the instruction is given to these 10, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And the foolish as well as the wise arose, and the first thing they did was trim their lamps. And when the trimming was done, the foolish looked and said, oh no, we have no oil. Our lamps are gone out. And they turned to the wise and they said, would you give us of your oil? Notice that of it, just a measure of it. For our lamps are gone out. And the wise said, in checking ours, we've just barely got enough for ourselves. There is not enough for us and you. You're going to have to go and get your own. And notice it now. Go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. That has been a passage of Scripture so ordered of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave this parable, and every part of it really counts. Go to them that sell and buy to yourselves. By the Holy Ghost? Well, some would object by saying, Brother Hendricks, this oil cannot represent the Holy Ghost because Simon tried to buy the Holy Ghost and Peter said, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. And by the time he got through preaching, we need that kind of preaching that Peter put out that day, because oh, Simon, the sorcerer, he trembled and he shook and he said, pray that none of these things that you have spoken happen to me. I tell you, we need some straight preaching these days where people are not right, will know that they're not right, and have the message given to them to help them to get right. Brothers, sisters, you can't buy the Holy Ghost with dollars and cents. But mark this. Would you go with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter 55? Where he said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, buy, hear it, the word buy now, buy what? Wine and milk without money and without price. Buy how? Without money and without price. So the buying is not with dollars, because he said here, without money and without price. But there is a price to be paid for the Holy Ghost. I hear the Lord Jesus now in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. He said, I want you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And buy of me white raiment that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And mark it down. I appreciated the dear ladies of this church how graciously you received the instruction on how to dress properly in coming to church. I know some kind of got a little ruffled over it, but the most of you took it so kindly because you saw that it was God's standard and not mine. And then, to my amazement and surprise, today while in my study, I ran across an article in the Akron Beacon Journal. Now, that normally that name of that paper is not mentionable in some places and probably not here, but I'm mentioning it because there's sometimes something good in there. And just a year ago, by Emily Post, it was stated there, what is the proper dress code for weddings and for churches? And she said, it is not proper for ladies to go to a wedding or to a church in slacks and the attire of the world. And I said, well, thank the Lord. There was a woman who maintained a good standard, not only for weddings, but she honored the house of God with maintaining the Bible standard. And dear hearts, so that you will know then that even to the people of the world, I don't know if the woman's a Christian or not, but I respect the woman for holding the line and holding the standard. And I know those of you that love the Lord, you appreciate anybody that'll be true to the Word of God and tell it like it is. It may kind of rough you a little sometimes. You say, well, my, I sure came so short. And the only reason I came short because they've never preached on it. But it's my responsibility to tell it like it is. And because it's such a heavy responsibility, when I read my text tonight, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I have a great responsibility for every precious soul here. Do you know this? That I have to give an account to Almighty God of what I have preached to you. You go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 17. He said, obey them that have the rule over you who have spoken unto the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. For he said, they shall give an account to God. Since I have to give an account to him, I want to be sure that when I stand before my master, that my record is clear that I gave you, thus saith the Lord. I'm not risking his censure, his reproof at that day, that I diluted it, that I toned it down, or that I was a coward and had a yellow streak up my back a yard wide because I was afraid I might hurt somebody's feeling or I would run somebody off from the church. I believe there are enough real Christians here that the truth won't run you off. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The foolish virgins neglected and they paid dear for it because when they went to get the oil, they said, go to them. That's another word in there, go to them. Remember, God gave the promise of the Holy Ghost coming into the world. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that are go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. If you go to the book of Acts 1, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So God sends the Holy Ghost, and Jesus also the Holy Ghost, so the them refers to the Father and the Son. There's where we get that Holy Ghost from. And now notice, when they went, they didn't argue. You notice in Jesus' parable, the foolish virgin says, how in the world can you buy this oil? They didn't argue about buying, did they? They went and did what they were told to do. They got better sense than the church. We'll argue over it. They didn't argue. They went and they got, but they came too late to get in. Because the bridegroom came in the meantime and those that were ready, went in. Those who had neglected couldn't get in. What happened to them? The big question has come up, Brother Henry, were they lost? Were they hopeless? Oh, no. They were not lost. They just came, but they just came in late. Well, when do they come in? They come in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. Who are these? The question is asked by John. He said, I have never seen this great multitude that no man could number. Where did they come from? The answer is this, Sir, thou knowest. These are they which came up out of great tribulation and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they are before the throne and they serve Him day and night in His temple. They made it, but they got in late. They had to sweat it out. They had to go into that tribulation time of that wrath of God poured out upon the earth. But they made it. But wait, let's not take chances. Some of them said, oh, well, if I don't get right with the Lord now, I'm glad there's another chance for me during the tribulation. Listen, my spirit will not always strive with man. We can't fool around with, and that's why the text is given to us tonight. There are those that are fooling around and says, oh, well, if I don't make it now, I'll make it later. The Word says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Escape what? If the Word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, a warning that every transgression and disobedience got a spanking. How shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation? If you go to the 12th chapter in verse 25, notice it here now. See, that concerning Him who spoke on the earth, and then He gives the warning. How about a chance of escaping if we refuse Him that speaketh from heaven? Would you read that?
Hebrews 12:25. See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh.
See that you refuse not Him that speaketh. Who is speaking? It's Jesus. Read on.
For if they escaped not who refused Him that spake on earth.
Wait, if they escaped not. We're dealing with escape, aren't we? If they escaped not that refused Him that spoke on the earth. Who was that that spoke on the earth? It was Jesus. They did not escape that refused Him that spake on the earth. Go now to the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. The Lord Jesus is speaking a very compassionate message. What does He say?
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee.
How often would I have gathered thy children together?
How often would I have gathered thy children together as?
As a hen doth gather her brood under her wings.
As a hen would gather her brood under her wings.
And ye would not.
You would not. You wouldn't respond. Read on.
Behold, your house is left unto you desolate.
Behold, listen, Jesus said it, your house is left unto you desolate. In other words, it's too late now. Now, go to the 19th chapter, the 19th chapter, and note over there particularly the day of visitation. Jesus is weeping. Would you get starting with Jesus weeping? Is that Well, this is near to the end of the chapter. Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. Brokenhearted. Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. And He tells them, because you knew not the time of your visitation, now it's too late.
And when He was come near, He beheld the city.
And when He would come near, He beheld the city, that's Jerusalem.
and wept over it.
And he wept over it.
Jesus saying, If thou hast known...
If thou hadst known in this thy day...
Even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace...
The things which belong to thy peace. The things that really belong to you for your peace.
But now they are hid from thine eyes.
Now, too late. They're hid from your eyes, your understanding. What else?
For the days shall come upon thee.
The days shall come upon thee.
That thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee.
The enemies are going to cast a trench about you.
And compass thee round.
Pass you around and compass you round about, encircle the city.
And keep thee in on every side.
And keep you in on every side.
And shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee.
And gonna level you to the ground, including your children.
And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another.
And not even one stone's gonna be left on another. All gonna be torn down.
Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
There it is. Because you knew not the time of your visitation. Dear hearts, when the Lord visits us, He expects us to respond to His visitation. When they heard Him, they didn't respond. They just neglected, they put off. And by neglecting and putting off, what were they putting off? So great salvation. Why is salvation so great? Because of the greatness of Him who initiated it, who made it possible. Do you know who Jesus really is? I'm sure I'm talking to real Christians here. And notice it, in that passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, 25, He said this, If they did not escape that refused Him that spake on the earth, hear the rest.
Much more shall not we escape.
Do you notice that we in there? Much more shall we not escape. If we refuse Him that speaketh from heaven. I want you to know tonight, children of God, Jesus is talking from heaven. And the messages you and I hear from the rest of the Word of God after He went up there to heaven. Do you know even the whole book of Revelation, Jesus, that was a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to the angel, and the angel gave it to John to give unto the church. We're hearing Him speak from heaven. And notice it. It is so important. He said, If they didn't escape that spoke on the earth, did it happen what Jesus said would happen to Jerusalem? Is that what happened? In 70 AD, it happened exactly as Jesus said it. What He said came to pass. He wasn't fooling. He wasn't mincing words. Now, they didn't escape that heard Him on the earth. He said, much more shall we not escape if we refuse to hear Him that speak from heaven. Now, Brother Hendricks, are you trying to put fear in these people's hearts? No. But as my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I am to warn everyone day and night with tears that I may present everyone perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. John the Baptist was as good a preacher as you ever heard preach, and he said, Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? There is something lacking in the preaching today. There's not that warnings there used to be. Paul said this, that I cease not to warn you day and night with tears. In Acts chapter 20, starting verse 28 through 32, here is a man of God warning the people then, but no warning today. Those who love, warn. Those who don't care, just says, oh well, just let them find out for themselves. After all, they got a Bible like I got. And sometimes the devil tried to plant that nasty idea in my head. Don't preach on holiness and don't preach on how to Christians how to dress and go into church. They've got a Bible. They can read it for themselves. All they do is they just get mad at you, preacher. And my, I saturated that before that article ever came out with tears and said, "Oh God, cause the people to receive the Word of God. Cause them not to reject it. Cause them not to throw it down, to throw it away, or to refuse it. It's too serious to refuse." Listen, how shall we escape? We escape if we neglect so great salvation. Do you consider why salvation is so great? Because of the greatness of our Savior. How great is He? If you went over there to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 8, you'll find that the Lord God said unto His Son, the Lord Jesus, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom." The Father calls Jesus God. How great is Jesus? He is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us in Matthew 1:23. In the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, received up into glory." Jesus is Emmanuel, interpreted God with us. How great is He? The Father said, "Let all of the angels of God worship Him." In Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 6, "Let them worship Him." Angels, you know how many angels are up there? He just got the count. He said 10,000 times 10,000. That's just the beginning of the count of angels. All of them worship Him. And then the Father also said this, "God has highly exalted His Son and given Him a name that is above every name." Hear it! "That the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow," barring none, "of things in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth." Under the earth, pray tell, who's that? Those are the people down in hell. They're going to have to bow to Jesus too at the white throne judgment. Hear it. Wouldn't do it here. They'll do it then. "Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hallelujah. How great is He? When Peter and James and John and Andrew saw the miracle of the boat load of fishes until the thing began to sink, and the other boys in their boat began to sink. When they saw that miracle of Jesus, when He told them to launch out into the deep, when they had toiled all night and didn't get a speck of nothing. Now that they do it, the boats begin to sink. Peter fell down before the Lord Jesus and worshipped Him. And he said, "Depart from me, Jesus. I'm not worthy to be in Your presence. I'm a sinful man." Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, Peter. From henceforth, you're going to catch men. I'm going to make you a fisherman." How great is this Jesus? I want you to know this. Not only all the angels are going to worship Him, we will worship Him. And I want you to know this, that up there in heaven, great honor. The Scripture says this, that there is one sitting on the throne that's Almighty God. And in His hand He has a book sealed with seven seals, written within and on the backside. And no one was found in heaven or on the earth or under the earth worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. But in the midst of the throne, there was a lamb as it had been slain. And it says, "Behold, the lamb came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne." And the angels said, and the four living creatures said, "Thou art worthy, for Thou hast been slain." And the saints said, "Oh, Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and tribe, and hast made us kings and priests unto our God." Who made us kings and priests? Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, hallelujah! He who is so high and has so many honors on Him has a name written that no one knows but Himself. This Jesus riding on a white horse in white apparel, And the armies of heaven are coming down from heaven with him. Consider how great he is. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And going to make war against the Antichrist and his armies in white attire. And all of those who come with him are dressed in white also. How does he fight? Only with a sword that proceeds out of his mouth. Just a spoken word. The same spoken word that created the worlds is the same word that will just finish them off. The power of his word. The power of his words. See that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Those words are powerful words. Do you know this? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed how? By the word of God. Do you know that all things were made but Jesus? And without him was not anything made that was made? You'll find that in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 3. You'll find it in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. You'll find it in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 16 and 17. You'll find it in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. Everything was made by him. And everything is consisting by his spoken word. In other words, held in obedience to him. And then there will come an hour when he will speak. In the book of 2 Peter and in chapter 3, he will speak. And suddenly the heavens will be on fire. And the earth will be burnt up at his spoken word. But we are not without hope. For he is not ashamed to be called our God, for he has prepared for us a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We have a new home. Consider how great Jesus is. Consider the greatness of his salvation. Why is it so great? Because of the awesome price that he paid for our redemption. Think of it. He purchased us with his own blood. He gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There was no means, there was no hope, there's no way of salvation but in Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given us among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, consider how great he is. Not only in the price that he paid. We were not redeemed of corruptible things as gold and silver with vain conversation received from the tradition of our fathers, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Think of it. Jesus said, I have power. How great is this Jesus? I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it again. That's him, the Son of the living God, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I've just gotten started my first point. Lord, help me right now. I haven't got to, and you know it's 7:45 right now. I may have better just kind of cut this off and start again another time, or you want to hear a little more. Keep it going. Bless God, there's more in store. Oh, listen. Our blessed Savior. How the greatness of his salvation. How great is it? Because he came to redeem us from all iniquity. And to present on himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How great is the salvation? I want you to know this, that he came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Do what with sin? Put it away. And what he puts away is put away. When John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. If he takes it away, I don't have it anymore. How great is Jesus? The same Savior who saves us from our sins. Behold, He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. That from means out of contact with. That's holiness. Why did Jesus say to the man who had been at the pool of Bethesda, who had been paralyzed, impotent? He met him in the temple after he had healed him. He said, go thy way and what? Sin no more, no more, no more. Why? In the redemption of Jesus Christ, there is a place of divine strength and power, a place of divine protection, a place of divine transformation of our life, that sin shall not have dominion over us. For we are not under law, but under grace. For he said this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. Know ye not that whomsoever ye yield yourselves servants will be as servants you are, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine was delivered unto you, therefore being made free from sin. You became servants of righteousness and have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. In Romans chapter 6 and verses 18 to 22. Brothers and sisters, he that abideth in him sinneth not. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth not. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 8. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18, he tells us this. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Can you add, devil, you can't touch him. Devil, you can't get him. Children of God, there's a place in the gospel provided where the devil can't touch you with a 40-foot pole. That's the great salvation we're talking about tonight. We've heard that kind of salvation that we have to sin every day in thought and word and deed. That doesn't align itself with the Word of God. For I will there to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 34. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Did you hear that? Sin not. He says, oh boy, how in the world can I keep from sinning? Well, get plugged into the Deliverer. For I go there to 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and in verse 18. And he tells us this. In 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. In Jude 24, this great Savior, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, the great Savior and his great salvation. Him that is able to keep you from falling. Isn't it wonderful to have somebody keep you? Keep you from falling. What else? That isn't all. And present you faultless. Huh? Is that in the Bible? Yeah, look it up. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. It'll make Jesus happy that you come before Him faultless. The provisions are in the gospel for you to meet Him just like that, because that's the great salvation that He has provided. It's not a little dinky Savior with a little dinky salvation that had a hard time to save you and a hard time to keep you saved. This is a great salvation because we have a great Savior. Blessed be His great and wonderful name. But that isn't all. He said, the greatness of His salvation, oh God, when I began to examine it, He said, a new heart will I give you in this great salvation. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you. And I'm going to take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you. and cause you to keep my statutes and my judgments, you keep them and do them. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? You've heard it too many times not to know it. He is a new creature. How new? Old things have passed away. Say, how much of the old stuff has passed away from you? I can tell how deep you have dug by how much dirt has been thrown out of your life. Brothers and sisters, old things have passed away, and behold, how much has become new? There's an all in there. Say, what a salvation this one. All has become new? Some folks say, well, I hadn't had that happen to me when I thought I got saved. Well, you just need another dip. When you get another dip, all becomes new. That's what that Bible says, isn't it? That's the plumb line. That's the measure on it. That's the kind of salvation that Jesus Christ provided, brothers and sisters. It's not a cheap, chintzy salvation. It's a great salvation because of the greatness of our Savior. I love it. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. I love it. He said, Jesus told us to pray. When you pray not only our Father which art in heaven, but you pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There must be deliverance, or He wouldn't have told us to pray it. Let's hear it again. Father, Father, I have kept them in Thy name whom Thou hast given to me. I have kept them, and none is lost, but the son of perdition, that he may go to his own place. Did he say that? I have kept all that you gave me, but one. Notice it, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Hear it. If Jesus could keep all of them, but that one rascal who betrayed him, isn't he able to keep you? Why? He's got the power to do it. The ability to do it. And what's more, He wants to do it. Father, I pray that Thou, so Thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou gavest me by the foundation of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me. Father, keep in Thy own name those whom Thou hast given me. Do you hear that? Jesus' prayer is that the Father will keep in His name those that have been given to Him. Father, keep them. Father, keep them. Father, keep them. You think the Father can keep you and me? He can keep us. Jesus prayed it. If it was impossible for Him to keep us, Jesus wouldn't have prayed that prayer. This is that great salvation I'm talking about. Now, it's near 8 o'clock. I'm going to have to take the next part in the next service. I need to get to that part on neglect. That's too much to cover it for the time that I have. And I got to take some time on that word escape. Ooh, Lord. When we begin to study about that, even the study of the word neglect, and give you some illustrations on neglect. Listen, we will be more careful as Christians. That word neglect, it didn't say reject or oppose or ridicule. Neglect. What does it mean? I just want to give you this much. It means treat with light esteem. Treat indifferent. Treat as unimportant. Brothers and sisters, this salvation is too wonderful, it's too great for us to be dilly-dallying around about it. And we'll begin, thee, with neglect and escape. Lord, have mercy. Listen, is there a man or woman out there unsaved? You're not right with God and you know it. You've got sin in your life. Or you've been a professing Christian, but you've been living in secret sin.
God's calling you tonight. There's a warning sign over you. How shall we escape if we neglect? Listen, when you neglect so great salvation, I'll be going into it. What do you neglect in salvation that gives you this warning about the danger of not escaping? There must be something that we are neglecting. What is it that we're neglecting that He is warning us against? We'll be touching on what exactly it is that we as Christians can neglect and keep ourselves in a low state of grace. You can tell what you must be neglecting. If you have sinning religion, I sin, I repent, I stumble and I fall, and I get up and get washed and cleaned up again. Then I go for a little while, stumble and fall and get dirty and repent and cry out and beg for mercy and get washed and get clean, and then get up and start out again, then stumble and fall. Is that the kind of Christian life that the salvation of Jesus Christ provided? A defeatist kind? No. Children of God. The Scripture says, and so an abundant entrance shall be delivered unto you in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What kind of an entrance? An abundant entrance. I mean, we're to walk into heaven with our chin up and our hearts clean and our chest out there. Glory to God. How great Jesus is in there. Lord, what You did for me. What You did for me. Look how You delivered me from the power of the devil. Look how You delivered me from all of those temptations. Look how You gave me victory over all of those sins that once conquered me. Now, Lord Jesus, You are conquering them in me. And You are giving me dominion. Sin shall not have dominion. Dominion shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under the law, but under grace. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you're not saved tonight, or you're leaning your soul to your backslidden, or you have that sin and repentant kind of religion, I want you to know this, that God's got a better life for you. Let's come and get it. Let's have the music. Let's have the invitation. It's time for us to come to the altar and pray. Shall we stand? Oh, glory to the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for a gospel that's got power in it. We remember what You said through the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. Lord, let that power be invested in men and women here tonight, that we will live a victorious Christian life and be able to say, thanks be unto God who always caused me to triumph in Christ. According to Your Word in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Let it come to pass, Lord. Draw people in this altar who really want You. A closer walk with You. Victorious life. So let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.